here on Wednesday night. For all of the members of New Life Tabernacle and all of you that have come to visit on Facebook Live, we just ask you, if you are new to this, like us or share us if you like what you hear. Sunday morning, we just want to remind everyone that we're going to have Sunday school, Facebook Live Sunday school, here at New Life Tabernacle, and then Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And let's pray and ask the Lord to help us with the Word of God tonight. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the presence of the Lord that we have felt. I ask you tonight, God, to lay your hand upon this Word, that it will speak to somebody's heart, that it will minister to someone's life tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During the 1936 Boston Marathon, there was a hometown hero, Johnny Kelly, who was looking for a repeat victory in the Boston Marathon when he tangled with Ellison Brown, and his nickname was Ellison Tarzan Brown. Catching the Rhode Island phenomenon in the hills, Kelly patted his rival on the shoulder as he passed him on the final climb. But instead of discouraging Brown, it fired him up, and he passed Kelly. By the time they sailed past Boston College, Kelly was done. And the Boston Globe sports writer Jerry Nason the next day described the defeat, as breaking Kelly's heart. And so the hill was named Heartbreak Hill. I would like to use that as an analogy tonight about things that we will go through in our walk with God, and maybe some things that you're going through tonight and you don't know what to do about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, the Bible says this, the Apostle Paul is speaking about this, and he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And so the Apostle Paul talked about walking with the Lord in conjunction with a foot race, with a race. And foot races are done differently by different people, but one thing is common to all people that run a foot race. It's one word called endurance. Endurance. And running is about starting, of course, and it is about enduring, and it is about finishing. And, of course, we know tonight that no race was ever won without the first step being taken. And that first step is always the most exciting. It's the most exhilarating and exciting. And all of the preparation for exercise is paid off. And they had qualified for the race, and they're waiting for the shot of the gun. And when the gun shoots, the crowd cheers. And it's exciting, it's invigorating, and everybody's very excited. Talking about the Boston Marathon, I lived in Boston at the time of one of the marathons, and we actually lived in a town that was not very far from where the Boston Marathon started, and it was really something to see. And where I was standing along the route, it was very close to the beginning of the race, and people were cheering. There was excitement. There was an exuberance in the air. There was a loudspeaker that was blasting, and everyone was proud of the runner that they personally knew, or a hero, or a star that they were egging on in the beginning of the race. Every race has a beginning. And every runner's head was up, their shoulders were straight, and in reality, the air was electric, as smiles were on all faces and everyone was shouting words of encouragement. It was really something to see. But our start with God is similar to that. Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, it says, "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." It was electric. It was powerful. It was wonderful. Everyone was cheering. Everyone was shouting. Everyone was just having a wonderful time as miracles were happening. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, "Then Peter said," and this they went to the temple at the hour of prayer, and a man that was lame was sitting there. And then it says in verse 6, "Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." What a great start for the church, and it was a great start for the New Testament church, and you can read about it in the book of Acts chapter 2 and the book of Acts chapter 3. And going back to the Boston Marathon, they started out with great excitement and exuberance, but as the runners ran along the route, they were confronted all of a sudden with a series of hills that rose up and down through the town of Newton, Massachusetts, right there on Route 9. And the first one, obviously, was not quite that bad, but each one seemed to get a little taller. The height of the hill continually began to drain the energy from every runner, but they had just started, and so there was a lot of energy to expend. There was a lot of excitement, people cheering and all of that. And we find the same thing in the scriptures about the church. The very first hill that they came to in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And so they were running their race, and all of a sudden they came to a hill. They found themselves in prison, but there was a revival that was taking place, and some 5,000 people were saved. And going back to the Boston Marathon, these small hills were nothing compared to the momentum that they'd received in the start of the race, yet every hill became more and more draining, and by now the crowd of those who were cheering had faded into a few cheers every so often, and between groups of people, the silence became a bit discouraging. All of a sudden, a slight pain began to be felt as the pressure and intensity of the race and the continual pounding of their feet upon the asphalt pavement. But they were still determined and ready to go to another hill that was in sight, and there was nothing more than elation and determination. and the downhill stretches that they ran proved to be exhilarating and encouraging, but there was another hill to climb. And back to the church in Acts chapter 5, verse 1, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain price and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said unto Ananias, Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him." All of a sudden, there was a hill that they had to climb. There were problems within the body of the church. There was this situation that arose, and great fear fell upon all the people because of this situation. In the Boston Marathon, soon another peak was before them, and it seemed to be quite a bit higher than they originally thought it would be. And again, the pain came back in their feet, and now it had stretched up to their back and to the calves of their legs. But they kept on running. They just kept on going. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 17, it speaks of the high priest here that rose up, Acts 5 and verse 17, "And all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison." And if you go down to verse 40 of the same chapter, it says, "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of the Lord Jesus, and let them go." They faced a bigger hill here. Now they were beaten for what they believed. And I'm sure as the runners were running on this marathon that they felt like they were being beaten by the continual pounding of their feet upon the road. And finally, Heartbreak Hill was before them, and some just couldn't make it and they fell by the wayside. This last rise before the finish was simply too much to bear. The pain, now intense, was increasing by the moment, and there was no cheering, there was no enthusiasm. Have you ever been there? The mental anguish and the physical stress upon their body was just too much. And there were some, even though they had others patting them on the shoulder as they passed by, like we could say the tortoise and the hare. They got fired up, and a new sense of energy and a second wind caught hold of them, and they became more determined than ever to make it all the way. Not just to make it, but to win. And now the hill was no longer the focus of their attention, but it was the colored ribbon off in the distance that became the goal. And they had it in their mind, "I'm going to win. I'm going to make it all the way." Paul wrote to Timothy, the young preacher, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. And he said, "I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And he warned him that this was going to come. This was going to be a heartbreak hill for many, having itching ears. "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou. We've got to watch. We've got to be we've got to persevere. We've got to endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. What Paul was literally saying was, I see the finish line. I can see the red tape across the finish line, and I'm going to make it all the way. He continued on, and he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, or because of this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. There's going to be a trophy at the end of this race, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Praise God. We're in a race tonight. The word marathon comes from Greek history. In a nod to Greek history, the first marathon commemorated the run of the soldier, I hope I can say this right, Pheidippides. And he ran from a battlefield near the town of Marathon, Greece. It was a town named Marathon. And he ran to Athens, Greece. And this was in 490 BC. According to the legend, Pheidippides ran the approximate 25 miles to announce the defeat of the Persians to some very anxious Athenians. And that's where we get the marathon. And everything that the Boston Marathon runners was obviously experienced by Pheidippides. And I have a feeling that it was a sense of duty that kept him going. Maybe it was his place in history that drove him. Probably not. Possibly it was the excitement. But more than any of these things, I think the thing that propelled him forward was the message. And we have a message today. It's a very important message that the enemy of our soul has been conquered. Oh, yes, he'll pat us on the shoulder as he's passing by, and everything will seem to be down. But I'm here to tell somebody tonight, we're not down and out, but God is with us. And we're here today, and those who have patted us on the shoulder seemingly pass by us. But I'm here to tell you, don't get discouraged, but get fired up and continue on, because the end of this race is not very far down the road. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, Paul's writing to this church, and he said, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That's part of the running of this race, is to know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means, I'm going to make it to the end, is what he's saying here. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I'm just going to keep running, he said, if that I may obtain or apprehend for that which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Listen to this. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God for his word tonight. You can make it. And if you're in the midst of trouble, I'm asking the Lord to give you that second wind, to fire you up so that you can see the finish line. Because tonight I believe that the finish line is in sight. We can see it coming quicker than we've ever seen it before. Now's not the time to give up. Now's not the time to lose all hope. If you haven't started in this race, go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, and it'll give you a good starting point to enter this race. But it's more than just entering, it's finishing. And what a glorious finish we're going to have when we see Him and we meet Him in the air, and we shall ever be with the Lord. Praise God for His Word tonight. I would like also to pray for all of the elderly and all of those that are shut-ins, and ask the Lord to give them strength and to give them help. And we just need to go to the Lord in prayer for that. And if you have any special needs, just make it known to the Lord wherever you're at, and God will help you in that situation. Lord, we thank You for the Word of God tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for touching those that are listening to the Word of God tonight. I pray for our elderly. I pray, Lord, for each and every one that is shut in or on lockdown. I'm asking You tonight, God, lay Your hand of protection upon them. Cover them with Your grace and Your mercy and Your protection. Help us today. Strengthen us today. For, Lord, we see the finish line. It's not that far off, and we give You thanks that we could be in this race in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you tonight, and I pray you have a wonderful week, and we're praying that you will stay safe and everything will be all right. We're going to make it through this, and God is going to help us through this. God bless you tonight.